From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A North Carolina trial court has determined that their state's severely gerrymandered districts have to be redrawn, just months after the U.S. Supreme Court walked away from regulating the maps. Republicans have so effectively drawn district maps to benefit their party that they are retaining political power in North Carolina despite losing the popular vote. But three state court judges just issued a 357-page ruling unanimously concluding that the existing maps, quote, do not permit voters to freely choose their representative, but rather representatives are choosing voters based on sophisticated partisan sorting. The North Carolina judges had access to a trove of files belonging to a Republican operative named Thomas Hoffeller, who died last year, and now another legal battle is shaping up over making all of Hoffeller's files public. My guest is Brent Lawrence, Deputy Director of Common Cause North Carolina. Welcome to the program, Brent.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So first explain Common Cause's role in the legal battle over these gerrymandered maps.
So we were one of the lead plaintiffs in Common Cause v. Rucho, which is the case on our congressional maps that ultimately wound its way to the federal Supreme Court, where they deferred to take action, saying they couldn't weigh in on that. But subsequently, we filed a lawsuit here in North Carolina in state court based on the state constitution. And that was ended up being called Common Cause v. Lewis. And that was the case that was decided just earlier this week. And so that's the one where we laid out that we believe the state legislative maps were unconstitutional partisan gerrymanders and needed to be redrawn to have fairer maps for the next election.
So how is it that the Supreme Court wasn't the one that had the final say on this? And actually, even let's go through what it was the Supreme Court did. Chief Justice John Roberts essentially threw his hands up, saying that it wasn't the court's job to determine whether districts were being drawn fairly.
That's right. Yeah. Chief Justice Roberts said, even in his opinion, acknowledged that gerrymandering can be a problem, but said it's not the role of the federal courts to police it. That's basically, it's a political question best resolved by the political bodies of government. But what he did do in that opinion was say that there's very much an avenue for state court challenges based on state constitutions, which in many state constitutions, there's actually greater protections for voters, like free elections clauses that are not in the US Constitution. And that's what our claim was ultimately filed on, was the state constitutional grounds here in North Carolina that are in a lot of ways broader and more pro-voter than the federal constitution.
I see. So the state courts took up this case separately, and essentially they were able to come to a very different conclusion than the Supreme Court. Was it because they had access to these files belonging to Thomas Hoffeller, or was it just that they, you know, saw things a little differently?
I think it's a combination of the two. I think they definitely saw things a little differently and saw that our state constitution did afford some of these extra protections. But also these documents from Thomas Hoffeller showed that these maps were drawn for purely partisan reasons and little else. It was drawn to maximize their political advantage. And in court and in trial back in July, there was little effort to deny that they were drawn for political partisan reasons either. So I think the three-judge panel here in North Carolina, on balance, looking at all this together, really decided that while the federal Supreme Court might not have seen a way to rule on this, that they certainly saw how gross a violation this was of our state constitution and how harmful this really is to voters and their ability to exercise their right to elect their own representatives.
So I understand that the three judges in North Carolina are two Democrats and one Republican, but all three were on the same page. This was a unanimous ruling, right? This was not a partisan ruling.
That's exactly right. And these judges represent different parts of the state. They come with different ideological perspectives, and they all came together in a pretty resounding rebuke of partisan gerrymandering. And they came together with, like you said, a 357-page ruling that really laid out in clear detail why this was such a problem and what the remedy that they saw was, which is new districts for the 2020 election.
And I want to actually expand on the quote that I read in my introduction from the 357-page ruling that the three judges issued. They wrote, the court bases their decision on the inescapable conclusion that the 2017 enacted maps as drawn do not permit voters to freely choose their representatives, but rather representatives are choosing voters based upon sophisticated partisan sorting. It is not the free will of the people that is fairly ascertained through extreme partisan gerrymandering. Rather, it is the carefully crafted will of the map drawer that predominates. So very strong words here. And we have evidence for the fact that there's very clear evidence for the fact that representatives are choosing voters, right? Given, as I mentioned, essentially the Republicans are engaging in a form of minority rule in North Carolina.
That's exactly right. And for those of us that work on this issue a lot, that's the old cliche is, you know, gerrymandering is politicians picking their voters rather than the voters picking their politicians. And the court seized on that. And as we've seen in elections here in North Carolina, which is a very closely divided state, but in recent elections, if you kind of accumulated the statewide total votes, Democrats had a slight advantage in that, but yet we're still relegated to minority status in the General Assembly. And I think if you look at that on the whole as part of the evidence of not only their purely partisan intent, but then you have, the effect is there as well, where these maps did their job. And in a 2018 election where it was friendly for the Democrats nationwide, this gerrymandering seawall held and Republicans still maintained their majority in the state.
I want to quote the New York Times on that. It said, specifically on that 2018 election, Republican candidates for North Carolina's House of Representatives won less than 50% of the two-party statewide vote, but walked away with 65 seats to the Democrats' 55. Republican candidates for the state Senate also won a minority of the popular vote and still took 29 out of 50 seats. So if these maps were more fairly drawn, we would see the seats proportional to the number of voters that pick their representatives, right?
Yeah, I think roughly, we're never going to have an exact proportion necessarily, but what we've seen gerrymandering do is bake in that advantage. And then regardless of how well either party recruits candidates or funds candidates, that there's always going to be that barrier that can't be overcome, regardless of which party is the one doing it. And that's really, I think, what we saw, especially in 2018, but also in other elections where you had this problem where without fair maps, with maps that are rigged to purely benefit one party over the other, that you're always going to run up against that. And it's going to be hard to overcome. And that's kind of where we get back to, are the voters really able to express their will if they can't, essentially choose candidates to win based on their ideological preferences.
Now, is this three-judge panel's decision in the state of North Carolina the final legal word on this issue, or can the Republicans challenge this? That's part one of the question. Part two is, what exactly does the court think needs to be done now? How should these districts be redrawn if that legal decision holds?
Yeah, so the first part of your question is, this lower court ruling does not need to be the final word. The Republican legislature or legislative leadership can appeal this to our appeals court, which would either be our Court of Appeals or more likely our state Supreme Court. So far, they've indicated that they don't intend to go that route. But my understanding is they have up till about 30 days to actually formally appeal the decision. So they still have a window to do that. But so far, they've indicated that they will abide by this court ruling and draw new districts. And what that's going to look like is, the court gave them until September 18th, so which is about a two-week window, to come back and draw new districts. It's about 77 districts total out of 170 in the General Assembly, so it's a pretty significant number of districts. And the catch is that the judges saw just how much in the past these gerrymanders have been done in secret, and how little sunshine there was in the process, that they've decreed that all this map drawing must be done in the public space. So it's got to be done in committee meetings at the General Assembly or wherever else. But when they're actually drawing new districts, so putting a hand on a mouse in software, the public needs to have access to that process. Whereas in the past, this was done, in the classic secret room with politicians hover on a computer, this time the public will have access to the process, and they won't be allowed to use partisan data, such as election results, when crafting these maps. So what we're going to get at the end of the day, hopefully, will be fair maps drawn through a more fair, transparent process. And the court will review these at the end of the day once they've produced these maps. And if they don't like what they see, if they feel they have not met the standards laid out in the judicial decision, then they will bring in a neutral special master to draw maps then at that point.
So let's talk about Thomas Hofeller, this Republican operative whose documents were made available to judges. He was someone who basically kept, I understand, pretty detailed digital documents and files. And he was a conservative. He died last year. And his daughter, someone who I think he who disagreed with him politically, made those files available. The U.S. Supreme Court had access to Hofeller's files, just as the North Carolina judges did, right? But apparently the North Carolina judges took away a very different conclusion from his files?
Yeah, and I don't know that the files were involved in our...
Well, I should say they were made public, the smoking gun about the fact that racial gerrymandering was part of his design became public before the Supreme Court made its decision.
Right, that's right. Yeah. So that was, it was part of the public record at that point, I should say. Yeah. So, but in our case here in North Carolina, the state level challenge, they were actually admitted as formal evidence into the process. And that was challenged by some of Dr. Hofeller's former colleagues that these were private documents and we had no right to use them or admit them as evidence. But the judges ultimately decided that it was admissible for us to use the documents that directly pertained to the North Carolina redistricting that Dr. Hofeller did for the, that related to these districts that we were challenging.
And remind us what it was that was known publicly about Hofeller's idea. He basically came upon this idea that if you can, put all non-white voters or as many as possible into some districts, you reduce the power of their vote and thereby increase the political power of Republicans. And this should have been something that, you know, the courts should have seized on at the Supreme Court level. But essentially, it seemed to be a pretty damning smoking gun based on a conclusion that most people who study this issue already drew, right?
That's right, yeah. And one of the interesting things that kind of came out of this was when the citizenship question on the census was also being deliberated on at the Supreme Court level, there was a memo found in those documents where Dr. Hofeller was outlining why adding a citizenship question to the census would benefit Republicans in the next round of redistricting. So that was pretty damning evidence there as well in a completely unrelated trial. And that's really where, once that came out, that's really where they started pushing back that to try to keep these records private and sealed instead of letting them be used in courts, not just in our case, but potentially in future litigation that, you know, we here in North Carolina necessarily wouldn't even be involved with.
So I understand that the Republican opposition to Hofeller's files being made public or even for judges having access to them is that this is proprietary information. It's protected by lawyer-client confidentiality. Is that about it?
That's a lot of it. A lot of it they're saying is that this was done on private computers and there's, you know, private personal files on there. And all along, our attorney teams have said, you know, we will obviously, you know, separate out private personal documents like tax records or whatever it might be from his work on redistricting. And we would contend that if he's working on redistricting plans for state legislatures, whether here in North Carolina or, you know, across the country, that those should be public records. And that's generally what the judges said in our case, was that these are public records because they were involved in a redistricting plan that he was eventually contracted to work on.
So what is the legal battle now over his files being made public? I understand that there's a deadline looming.
Yes, yeah, so there's just an extension granted for 1 week. So September 13th will be when our attorneys and the defense's attorneys and the representatives for Dr. Hofeller's late colleagues will have to submit all their briefs and legal documents. And then the court will decide, you know, what is the fate of those documents? Are they essentially, you know, unsealed? And then people have access to them for future litigation, or do they remain proprietary, or do they go back to being proprietary for his business colleagues? So that's where we are right now. We'll see on September 17th, essentially the court order saying those documents are sealed will expire. We don't know exactly what that will mean, you know, at the stroke of 5 o'clock on the 17th or not. But that's where we are today. So both sides are going to be submitting stuff within the next week or so to the courts, and then the court will decide ultimately what to do. And as I said, we will contend that these are public records and belong in the public sphere.
If these are made public, what do you expect will be revealed about Republican strategies? Is it something that's restricted just to North Carolina or to the entire nation? Because Hoffeller was an operative that was, I understand, advising Republicans on general strategy, right? Not necessarily specific state strategy?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he was a well-known operative for the Republican Party, and I think he was sort of the redistricting guru for Republicans. So my understanding is, you know, I'm here in North Carolina, but my understanding is that he was involved in redistricting for other states as well. So I don't know exactly what files are on there that don't pertain to North Carolina, but I think there's some thought that maybe there are, you know, similar files that we found in North Carolina for other states across the country. And that's what folks are interested to find out. And if so, what the ramifications of that would be, I'm not sure. It's, you know, we're getting towards the end of 2019 now. So the efficacy of using those to challenge existing redistricting plans before the 2020 elections is obviously running short. But I think at the end of the day, folks like Common Cause and other, you know, open government, good government groups just believe that these any redistricting work like this done on a computer by a person that was contracted with the state governments across the state or here in North Carolina should be public records.
Now, certainly North Carolina is not the only state with severely gerrymandered districts, although it is among the most deeply impacted. Could Hoffeller's files, if they were made available to judges, you know, whether or not they become public record, could they result in challenges in other states, you think, like we've seen in North Carolina?
I think the potential's there. I think we really don't. And just for a sense of timeline, we filed our state level challenge here in the North Carolina courts before we even knew about this trove of Hoffeller documents. So our case did not hinge upon having those access to those documents. I think once we once our attorneys saw those, it bolstered their claim, our claims, and our evidence. But so I think other states might have, if they have litigation in the works, they could find supporting evidence to support their claims. But I it's unclear at this point whether states could get their hands on these in the next month or so and then turn around and file a claim based solely on that evidence. I'm not sure. I have much space to comment on that specifically.
Right. It's been the Republicans that have most effectively seized on this method of gerrymandering districts in order to consolidate political power. And so the Democrats have finally sort of seized on that as well. Former Attorney General Eric Holder has spearheaded an effort, I believe with the help of former President Barack Obama, to challenge Republican redistricting. And the Wall Street Journal had a really interesting opinion recently after the North Carolina decision came about, the state court decision came about, and that op-ed was entitled "Eric Holder's Redistricting Coup." So interesting to see this, you know, of course, a very conservative paper, but they saw that decision as being part of a coup by Eric Holder because the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, said that maps should be left to, you know, the states, that the courts should not get involved in map drawing. What do you make of this view and this perspective on what's playing out?
I think it's fascinating. I think the last 10 years, I've been doing this work for about 10 years now. And I'll say, especially in North Carolina, we've seen more and more attention just from the average voter, you know, getting a better sense of what gerrymandering is all about, what its impact on their lives are and the state is. And I think that's not certainly not contained in North Carolina, despite us being one of the kind of poster childs for gerrymandering gone wild. But people across the country are now seeing how gerrymandering impacts not just political power, but people's lives. And in 2010, the Republicans made a very concerted effort to win back state legislatures to control the redistricting process in 2011. And that was very successful for them. And so I think this time around, people like Attorney General Holder are hip to that now too. So they're making their own efforts, I guess, to counter that effort on the Democratic side. So it's going to be really fascinating to see that both sides, voters, everybody's a little bit more attuned to this issue now, which I think, regardless of who's in charge, come the next round of redistricting, I think people are paying more attention. It's going to be harder for lawmakers to get away with extreme partisan gerrymandering anymore, especially with this trial court decision we had in North Carolina recently. So I'm hopeful that even if we don't get kind of a nonpartisan system in place by 2021, that there'll be more guardrails on the process moving forward, and the voters will be paying more attention.
Right. Nonpartisan is key. The extreme gerrymandering is wrong when Republicans do it. It's wrong when Democrats do it. Brent, give out a website where people can follow the work that you do, and also any place that they can follow the Hofeller documentation. I assume when it becomes public, people will see it in the news, if it does become public, that is. People will see it in the news and be able to go through it themselves. But what's a good online resource?
You can always find us at commoncause.org/NC. That's our state website. And we'll have updates as documents and lawsuits and all this stuff unravels in the coming weeks. We'll have updates there that folks can kind of keep up to speed with what's going on and what comes next.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We'll post a link to that website from our site as well. Good luck, Brent. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
My guest has been Brent Lawrence, Deputy Director of Common Cause North Carolina. We've been discussing North Carolina's gerrymandered maps, the recent state court decision there, as well as the trove of documents belonging to the late Thomas Hofeller, a Republican operative. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you so much, Brent.